있어요.
Alaska lawmakers couldn't come to consensus with Governor Bill Walker on a comprehensive plan to reduce state spending and raise more money. Contentious special sessions didn't get it done, so now what? Alaska's credit rating has already been dinged and could further be face downgrades if lawmakers and the governor can't find common ground. What will that mean for investment, and what is the right path forward? Governor Bill Walker joins us to discuss what he hopes to see happen to stabilize the state's finances today on Talk of Alaska.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
First National Bank Alaska, where local knowledge and experience make the difference. We believe in Alaska. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Boating accidents happen even to experienced boaters and even on calm, sunny days. This boating season, make your friends and loved ones promise to always wear a life jacket and carry emergency communication and distress signaling devices. Visit pledgetolive.org, where you can file a float plan, get marine weather forecasts, and download a pre-departure checklist. This message sponsored by the Alaska Office of Boating Safety.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello, welcome to Talk of Alaska. Moody's Investor Service yesterday lowered Alaska's credit rating from AA1 to AA2, saying the outlook was negative. Moody's also downgraded the state's bond ratings, and a statement notes that as Alaska spends down its reserves, the risks to long-term credit will intensify. Here to help us understand the implications of these downgrades and what he would like to do to counter them is Governor Bill Walker. Thanks for joining us, Governor.
Thank you, Lauren. Good to see you.
So how serious is this downgrade that happened yesterday? What does it mean?
Well, it means that the world's watching what we do. The financial world is watching. And so that's what they do, and they rate our bonds accordingly, and they told us that if we did nothing, this would happen. And when I met with them in Washington, in New York, last winter, we walked through the fiscal plan, and they said, well, I need to get that through or there'll be a downgrade, and not a single piece was passed, so we got downgraded again.
Mm-hmm. It means certainly that it will cost more for the state to borrow money. Does it also impact investors who may be considering projects in Alaska, and does it have a chilling effect in that regard?
I'm afraid it probably does. And I think until we bring this under control and have a fiscal plan, a broad-based fiscal plan that gets us from, you know, drawing down on savings, it's going to continue to have that, what I call a cloud of uncertainty over Alaska's future. So, you know, the concern is that, you know, the money that we're now living off of, 70% of our spending is out of savings. That's money that could earn interest and earn, you know, into the future. So it really is, the analogy is the, you know, eating the seed corn, and that's somewhat what we're doing, rather than planting it and having it grow for, you know, future generations and decades into the future. So it's a serious issue.
If you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska, and Governor Bill Walker is with us today to discuss the budget stalemate and what the way forward may be. You can join our conversation if you have ideas for how to help the state get back on firm financial footing and in the gridlock that's happening currently. Our call-in numbers across the state are 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. If you're calling in Anchorage, the number is 550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us talk@alaskapublic.org. So, Governor, let's start with where things are currently. Last week, lawmakers ended the second special session called this year, the fifth overall. House lawmakers couldn't get behind your proposals for deficit reduction. What's your level of frustration with the lack of passage of things that you said are must-haves for 2016?
Well, the problem is the longer we wait to solve the problem, the fewer tools we have to use. And the tools we do have to use will be much more expensive. In other words, every year we wait, when we talk about income tax, we have to double the amount of tax each year we wait because we're burning through our savings. So The savings would have brought in $200 million. The income tax we propose it would bring in $200. So that's the concern of the reason I did not want to wait as long as it appears we're going to have to wait is that we are literally burning through the solutions, one of our biggest solutions, and that won't be available. So it's a one time. Once those savings are gone, they're gone. So it's a very all the tools are available to fix this. And yet they're just the Senate, to their credit, the Senate passed a significant piece of that. And unfortunately, the House was not able to do that.
Mm-hmm. So where does this leave us currently? What happens now? What are your ideas for how we're going to move forward?
Well, we'll continue to do what we did last year, continue to work with the legislature, sit down, listen to them, see what ideas they may have, what their plan might be. We submitted our plan. Asking them to, I've always said that our plan is in pencil, not pen. So if someone can make it better, we welcome that. We encourage that. So we will continue to work with them as we have in the past to find out what will they pass and why won't they, you know, what is it going to take for them to pass certain pieces of this legislation? So last year, the only thing that was passed was a $9 million of an increase in hunting and fishing licenses. And $9 million on a $4 billion deficit is a start, but it's not a big step.
Absolutely. And did you say an income tax was projected to bring in $200 million. If you are wanting to join our conversation today, please do. 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. Governor Bill Walker is our guest today on Talk of Alaska. You can also in the Anchorage area call 550-8422. 550-8422, and let's go to the phones now. Paula is in Tok. Hi, Paula.
Yes. Thank you for having me. We had our legislator here last week, and he was discussing some of the kind of special interest dollars that the state spends, and one of them that he identified was about $100,000 that went to the beer brewing companies, the little, yuppie breweries, whatever you call them. And they get a significant drop in money and really have a little, the state itself gets very little return on that. I would like for the legislature and the governor to look at those kind of expenditures that we have on our budget. Also, and I wrote the governor and all of my legislatures this past year about education funding because I am a retired school teacher. And one of the big dollar things that we have in special education is intensive funding for students. And according to my investigations, it's about $70,000 per intensive student. And according to the federal ladies that I talked to, about 1% of the population should qualify for this. I retired from a school district and we had about 17 intensive students, which based on the 1% should have been about 4 students. And I figured if all of the 94 districts in the state were abusing this, and I had been told several times by our SPED director that the state was aware that it was being abused and that it was a way to get more money into the school district, that's like $64 million statewide that we could save by honestly identifying students as intensive. Now, I also understood that the money, even though it goes to the general fund in the school districts, is supposed to track and follow and be spent on those students. And I strongly suspect that most school districts are not doing this. And I'm not for cutting school money. I want to be real clear about that. But I want money to be used honestly, and especially when you're talking about taking half my dividend.
Well, Paula, thank you so much. You've raised some important issues and things to discuss here with Governor Walker. Alaska does spend more than any other state in education and corrections. We're second in public assistance spending and second in transportation. Governor, what else can be done to reduce these items?
Well, first I want to thank Paula for her time and years in teaching. Education is near and dear to our hearts and very difficult decisions. She brings up a good point. I'll certainly bring that up with the new commissioners from the Copper River Basin and Dr. Michael Johnson is so very familiar with that area. So I will certainly bring that up with him. I'm not aware of the beer brewing company funding. We'll look into that as well. And it's one thing I like about your show very much is we hear from folks that are that see and hear things different than we do. And I like to engage with that. I'm not in favor of any taxes. I'm not a tax person. The most difficult decision I've had to make since I've been governor had dealt with the permanent fund. No question about that. I know what the impact that's going to have on Alaskans, certainly rural Alaskans, perhaps disproportionately because just the cost of living in Alaska, very, very difficult to bring it down to. The average has been about $11.40 since it's been in inception, so it's $1,000 this coming year. Very, very difficult decision. If we didn't do that, if we don't make these changes, the entire dividend program goes away in a couple years. And that's a concern that we have if we don't stop living off of our savings. So there will be, unfortunately, there'll be more budget reductions. It's an ongoing process. But, I think that until we get this under control, we need to really control our spending and make some additional cuts, which I wouldn't. None of are pleasant. Believe me, they're not. We do have a lot of high costs on a per capita basis, largely because we're the largest state, obviously, and one of the smallest populations. So if we were, Rhode Island, I think on a per capita basis, it'd be a bit different. But we are fortunate to have the vastness we have, and we're spread out all across the state, and some places don't have roads. You can only get there by air, which is expensive. So just the cost of performing governmental services in Alaska are significantly higher just because you don't hop in a patrol vehicle and go 10 miles from one town to the other. You fly 1,000 miles and to get there. So it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-478-8255 is the number if you'd like to join our conversation with Governor Bill Walker today. 1-800-478-8255 or locally 550-8422. You can also email us talk@alaskapublic.org. Governor, we've heard about how if a plan doesn't get passed, that the permanent fund, the account will drop to the point where dividends will no longer be possible. Do you think Alaskans are really absorbing that, and what do you hear when you talk to constituents about, do they believe that that's the reality of where we're at?
Those that I meet in passing at an airport or on an airplane or something, many of them will say, thank you very much for what you're doing. I know it's not unanimous. Obviously, there's plenty that say they don't like what we're doing. I don't like what we're doing. But we don't have a choice on that. But I think that the message is getting out. I think that the different organizations that came together to sort of, help inform Alaskans on this issue. It's a big one to get your head around. It really is. It's pretty complicated. Some will look and say, well, we've got a huge permanent fund, account. Why are we worried? Well, we can't draw on that account, obviously, without a vote of the people, nor would we. And we have no plans to do that. But so it's really, there's almost no visible signs in some respects of what's changing, although we're closing offices around the state. We're making lots of changes around the state. So it takes a while for some of our reductions to sort of kick in and sort of see what, I remember last winter, the first snowfall in Fairbanks, we heard a lot about that because it took about twice as long to clear the state roads as before because we've been reducing, people. Mm-hmm. So
lots of lawmakers have said that they want more state spending reductions before they'll get behind an idea of considering new taxes or reductions to the permanent fund dividend. Have you heard a target amount from lawmakers? Do they have kind of a number that they'd like to shoot for?
Not really. And I haven't heard a specific amount. And I guess what's disappointing is that, the budget I reduced was their budget. So if they really wanted to reduce the budget, they had every opportunity. We submit a budget to them, it becomes their budget. They work with it and massage it and change it however they want, and then they vote on it. It's their budget. So if they want more reduction, they certainly could have done that. And so then the budget came to me, and I made a reduction of about $1.3 billion in reduction, with that money went back into the savings, trying to prolong that as much as possible. So when they asked for more cuts, they've not really come forth and said where and why they didn't do it on their watch. And so we'll continue to have that discussion.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think the endowment concept, the idea of rolling all of the state's revenue and savings accounts into the permanent fund, has not gained more traction? Is it, do you think it's a general mistrust of government in Alaska, or why is it that people don't see this as a valid way forward?
You know, I can't say exactly why. It's a combination of a number of things. I think there is a general distrust of government, both, you know, state and federal. I think if it was at a local level, I think it would be perhaps more acceptable in some respects. And I think that the further out from the local government, I think there's a very high level of comfort with local government. The further out from local government, I think the more concern. So I think there's that. I think there are those that we've been in this situation before, similar situation, not the same, back in the 80s and other times with low oil prices. I think there are those that say the price of oil will bounce back up again, we'll be fine. And it's just, we're not seeing that. And plus, the last time we were in this situation in the 80s, we had throughput in the oil pipeline of 2.1 million barrels a day. Now we have 500,000 barrels a day. So it really, you know, we have the lower flow as well as the lower price. The combination of what's really, really hurting us.
Absolutely. This is Talk of Alaska. Governor Bill Walker is our guest today. We're going to go back to the phones now. We got calls stacking up. Let's talk with James in Eagle River. Hi, James.
Hello. Good morning. Governor, from the very beginning, it was made clear to everyone that cuts alone were not enough to eliminate the budget deficit, that every department in the state could be cut, and that still wouldn't be enough. And yet our legislators seem to take pride in all the cuts they've made, and then now you're saying that they say they want to make more cuts before they look at more revenue. Well, obviously we need both cuts and revenue, and yet the legislature doesn't seem to have the courage to take on the necessities of raising revenue. My question for you is, you as from the executive branch have been able to make cuts from the budget. Is there anything the executive branch can do to raise revenue on that side? And I appreciate everything you've tried to do, and I see a recalcitrant legislature as being the stumbling block, and I wish you the best, because they seem to be the problem more than anything.
Well, James, thanks for the call, and for your, you laid out very well. That is the problem, is that it's a combination of spending reductions, and we've come down since 2013, it's come down 40%. So it's not just insignificant. Those are the numbers by David Teal, the legislature's own financial director. But that alone is not going to do it. You're right. Specifically, to answer your question, there are not specific revenue things that can be done by the executive branch. It's the legislature, and I'm you know, full support of the separation of power between the legislature and the executive branch. So it really is the legislature that creates the laws that allows for the new additional revenues to come in. So we will resubmit to them again what we've done in the past, and see where that goes this session.
All right. Thanks, James, for the call from Eagle River. And now let's go to Brian on Prince of Wales Island. Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Did you have a question?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to brainstorm, you know, to think of ways to bring more revenue in. State's got a lot going for it. And I keep hearing this about how one of these days they're going to open a northern route. And at the same time, I hear about how they've expanded the Panama Canal. I just wonder if the day is going to come where maybe we could get some money for another icebreaker or something. We could at least part of the year open that up to where there's a Far East route to Europe, and then we could get revenue that way by kind of having our own Panama Canal for, you know, linking the rest of the world faster than going through that route. And then our shipyards would get expanded, and that would put more people to work, and I don't know, just kind of pie in the sky. But where are we at with that?
Well, Brian, I had a great visit last week to Prince of Wales. I went and signed a piece of legislation at Viking Lumber and to get more trees available for that facility. So I enjoyed my time in Craig. You're absolutely right. I have likened the opening of the Arctic to very similar to the opening of the Panama Canal. And there is funding, federal funding that's being proposed. Senator Murkowski and Congressman Young, Senator Sullivan have all worked on getting the federal funding for an icebreaker for that purpose. This year, we'll see the first cruise ship leave from Seward headed to Europe over the top. And we'll see
to
how
New York.
To New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
Going to New York.
So it's going to be very exciting to see that happen. The last time that happened was back the Manhattan left Puto Bay in the early 70s, headed for New York to see if that route would work for oil rather than a pipeline. So we watched that very closely. So that is opening up. You're right, and the sort of the trade opportunities for Alaska for our resources getting to world markets is going to be a great opportunity. So, you know, whether it's timber, whether it's gravel, whether it's ore, whether it's so I think that that's going to be a major, and that's why we have the Arctic Policy Council. We just recently, yesterday, joined the Northern Forum group of northern countries that are looking at the opportunities with the waterways opening up. So you're absolutely right. That's an opportunity. It takes a while. You don't flip a switch and suddenly you have that in place, but it will give us markets that we've not had access to before.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Brian. We're going to hang with the phones for a little bit here. Bernie is in Fairbanks. We've got callers from all across the state. So hi, Bernie.
Oh, good morning, Lori. And good morning, Governor Walker. Thank you for being here for us. I just want to say that. I want to thank Governor Walker for your leadership. Your multi-point list that needed to be done by the legislators was right on. It spread the pain, and we all need to make sacrifices. One suggestion that I would put out there is, people are leery about the PFD being used, but if it could be proposed that it be used only for education, which is what one third of our budget, and or close to that, and healthcare, Medicare. I think you get a lot of people on board if it was limited to just those two programs, and then and hopefully because it is bipartisan, we could get both. We get everybody on board. And I just once again, I'll take your comment offline. But thank you so much for your time and the hard work that's ahead.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bernie. Governor, is that something that could be done? Or?
Well, I know there's limitations on dedication of funds, and so that a constitutional limitation of that. So we will certainly look at that. We've gotten a number of suggestions around the state on how to do the dividend issue differently. So some have suggested a sort of a pick, click, and give how they want their $1,000 to be spent. So they can say, education, they can say public safety and those kinds of things. And so we're looking for ways of involving the public more in these decisions. But, on the broad base, right now, Alaska is the lowest in the nation of personal taxes. And if every one of the ones that we submitted was passed, we'd still be at the very bottom. We'd probably be number two, but then you add in a $1,000 dividend, it'll bring us back as the lowest in the nation. So we're trying to make it as painless as possible, as broad-based as possible, and not necessarily pull on any one lever too hard that's going to impact individuals or industries and not just rely upon one or two, but make it more broad-based. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go to Homer now. Gil is in Homer. Hi, Gil. Did you have a question for Governor Walker?
Good morning. Let me just say thank you again, Governor Walker, for doing the job of attempting to make government work. I'm sad with our legislature. I've had a discussion with Representative Seaton about this. I am upset with our legislature for not recognizing that we cannot cut our way out of this budget issue. We must look at new sources of revenue. It is irresponsible to say that making no decision is a decision. It is a bad decision. And we need to look at all forms of revenue. Governor, I can, yes, there have been many downturns in our price, in the price of oil. We cannot afford to look at oil as the source of revenue for government alone anymore. I want my legislature responsive to their electorate. The only way to do that is for the income tax to come back. Then my legislature is spending my tax dollars.
All right. Thanks, Gil.
And you know, you make the same argument that Governor Hammond made in 1976. He said, he warned Alaska, and he said, if we don't get off of one commodity, there'll be a day of reckoning. And I think we're at the day of reckoning. I had the pleasure of spending an hour with Bella Hammond last week at Lake Clark, and it was a real treat to the First Lady and I to be able to spend time with her. And you know, cuts alone, you're right, does not do it. We need to bring in some additional source of income and be as fair and balanced as we possibly can, so it again doesn't disproportionately hurt one group or the other. So I'm looking forward to a resolution this coming session.
Let's squeeze one more call in before we have to take a short break at the bottom of the hour here. John is in Kotzebue. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Did you have a question for the governor?
I've been listening. Yes, I've been listening to the show there a little bit while I can. And I would like to say that the permanent fund dividend is a good thing, but state revenue is another. And perhaps it's been brought up, but I think that a state lottery would be a good place to start to begin to generate income necessary because of our renewable resources, like the slope, oil and gas is running out. That was just my two cents. If we had a state lottery, people would voluntarily donate into that for the chance to possibly win, and it would be a renewable resource in itself. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
Go ahead, Governor.
I'm glad to hear your cannings, because that means you're there getting some fish up there, so that's great. You know, we looked at the state lottery, and it would bring in about roughly $8 million and minus the cost of administering. And the concern we have is, I mean, we always hear about the New Jersey lottery and all these big numbers. We just don't have the population that they have elsewhere to really make that a big ticket item. So the numbers came in. We looked at that. It was quite a bit lower than we thought it would be. So it was a good idea, but our population is just doesn't fit that particular model.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more calls, more questions, and more conversation with Governor Bill Walker as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station. Apollo MT by Guardian Flight. Medevac memberships that protect you or a family member when there is a need for air medical transportation. Information available at apollomt.com.
Alaska Clean Harbors reminds you to slow down and take care with any cleaning, fueling, or painting products while maintaining your boat this summer. Be smart to save money and protect our marine environment and our beautiful ocean and coastline. Let's keep the water clean and keep our fish healthy. For more information, go to alaskacleanharbors.org. This message is sponsored by Cook Inlet Keeper with funding from the Coastal Impact Assistance Program.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Governor Bill Walker is our guest today. We are going to talk just for a moment about an announcement that was embargoed until just now. We can discuss it now. The Department of Corrections is planning to close the Palmer Correctional Facility. They will move inmates to other facilities in the South Central area and use the building for other purposes. A release from DOC says the Palmer Correctional Facility budget is $10.6 million. The closure will save $5.6 million, and the rest will be reallocated to other DOC facilities. Governor, this is just happening. This release just became public now. Tell us about the why of this decision.
Well, the commissioner brought this to me some time ago, and I emphasized the repurposing of that facility. It's a great facility. We have room in other facilities, and most of the staff will stay in the valley, but it'll be in a different facility in the valley at the farm facility, and so it's a necessary part of what we do. And I've asked every department in my cabinet meetings to continue to look for ways that we can, you know, we can combine, we can reduce, we can save money. We're now looking at, we have a group looking at the ADA, AEA, Alaska Housing Finance, those three entities. How do we combine those in such a way that we save overhead, we save staff, and can reduce positions associated with that? So this is going, you know, across the board. It's not just corrections. I mean, today's the day the corrections has come out with something, but also it's not just there. It's widespread.
Well, let's talk just for a moment about that before we go back to the phones. We've got all the phone lines full right now, so if you're trying to call, you might have to wait for just a little bit. Do you think, you were just talking about how it's not just corrections, it's other consolidations may have to be considered. There were proposals earlier this year to raise the minimum number of students per school that the state would fund. That didn't go anywhere. But do you think that those kinds of proposals are going to have to be reexamined in the future?
Well, we may have to look at how we provide educational services. And I'm a big believer of looking to what can we do with the tribal organizations in rural Alaska to involve. We've done an analysis of what services do we provide in rural Alaska that the tribes could provide, perhaps on a contractual basis. And so we're looking at all different models of what and how we provide services more economically.
Let's go back to the phones. Tyler is in the Aleutians East Borough area. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And Governor Walker, thank you so much for the job you've done. I feel like you've been very courageous to stand on your principles, even when it wasn't easy. And the fact that everyone agreed they needed to change what you did this last cycle but couldn't have consensus on how to do it showed that you probably spread the pain out pretty well.
Yeah.
So thank you for everything. I wanted to touch on so many things, but one thing is the idea of income tax. And, you know, we're a fishing community out here, and people in the fishing community already pay a very steep tax because they're independent employees of themselves, and they have to pay all their federal taxes. And then the boroughs and the cities take out raw fish tax, which they say is a resource tax, and it is, but it also functions effectively like an income tax on the fishermen. Because it's off of their income, essentially. And so to pile on top of that, income tax for fishermen and, you know, marine fuel taxes and things like that would put a really heavy burden on fishing communities. And I would suggest that you would consider that as you go ahead with future legislation. And the other thing was, is there consideration, oil prices will rebound at some point, is there consideration to go and start building out another sovereign wealth fund that could actually go directly towards government funding when oil does rebound, and that way we could kind of put the permanent fund back towards the people and the grassroots economy? All right, that's all for now. Thank you so much.
Yep.
There's that word again, Governor, rebound.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tyler. I've been out to Unalaska Dutch Harbor. What an impressive community that is. And of course, Chris Laddick is our Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development from your area and whatnot. So we're very fortunate to have him and have his expertise. You know, you're correct. Our concern is that we don't stack too much on one particular industry. And I know that the raw fish tax is a fee that's paid federal income tax. Of course, personal income tax are deductible from federal income tax, so that would help somewhat. There's been also suggestions about a sales tax rather than an income tax. Some like the income tax more because we have about $2.6 billion of out-of-state workers that come to Alaska on a shift basis, and so they would contribute on a income tax, whereas they would not on a sales tax. So, you know, we have submitted both to let the legislature pick which one they prefer. They asked us last time. That's why we submitted a sales tax the last special session, is because they said, well, we'd like to consider that. So we added that to the menu, if you will. So, you make a good point about the impact of a federal tax. And so we do take that in consideration. It's about a 1% tax or 6% off your federal obligations, what it would be. So, now it wouldn't be that because we didn't do it last year. So this year would probably potentially be double of that.
Governor, what's the tone currently in your conversations with lawmakers? A few weeks back, you were really steamed up asking, does the state have to go completely broke before anything gets done? Are you seeing, hearing any progress in talks with lawmakers on areas of agreement?
Well, I think there's a lot of focus now on the upcoming elections. And so there really hasn't been a lot of discussion. I've met with a number of legislators. I'm in the bill signing mode now, so various legislators are involved in that. But they're all busy out visiting constituents, knocking on doors, and do what candidates do at this time of year. So they're pretty involved in that.
Senator Anna McKinnon has discussed bringing a small group of lawmakers together to work on major elements of a fiscal plan. What are your thoughts about that?
Anything that brings people together, I'm in favor of. We did that last year, and we'll look at doing that again this year. I appreciate those that step up and suggest any concept at all. I applaud that, so I appreciate her very much stepping up and saying that. We certainly tried that last year, and we'll certainly try it again this year.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Don is in Anchorage. Hi, Don.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to the hot seat again, Governor.
Yeah, thanks, Don.
I hope you got a real thick stack of paper and pad there in front of you along with some pens, and I trust you're taking a bunch of notes.
I am.
Good. I'm a senior citizen, and I distinctly recall that there were some points that were made before I voted for you in the last election. One of them was there would not be any cut in senior benefits, and lo and behold, that's what's been going on, although there was some talk also about not tampering with a permanent fund. My point is, basically, and I've been up here since 68, the taxes and the tax system up here has been very biased in favor of the haves. And if we are going to do any good, we're going to have to get busy. And whether it's sales tax, income tax, combination, whatever, and really get on it and get some things done. I was kibitzing a while back when I told a friend, I said, you know, one of the first things you ought to do is take out the per diem paid to the legislature for the extra overtime, because they're getting paid and they're not accomplishing anything. Somebody ought to tell them they're fired. But because that's basically what was going on. They were getting all the extra pay and increasing the size of their budget and getting money. Deficit really shouldn't be such a big hassle. We've had deficits in this country since the inception of this country. We've had deficits in the state. Every state has some kind of a deficit. It's part of making up a budget, and there's certain amounts that get put off to the following year or whatever. It's just part of looking forward and figuring that, hey, the world's not going to end tomorrow. So you figure you're going to have something else coming in. Where I see the problem is we're not doing what Governor Hammond suggested. We've got virtually no manufacturing up here in Alaska. I mean, we are at the crossroads of the world. We could be doing something like assembling computers or putting together solar panels or doing something up here that is much more positive. And as far as DOC is concerned, I'm sorry to say, cutting back on closing places that you've got, and dispersing people to other institutions. I was here when Cook Inlet went in. Okay, big brag, they had one man cells. Okay, a few years ago, those same cells were occupied by three men, and now we're going to cut various places and disperse more of men. I don't see where in a dickens we can get off figuring that we can afford to do that.
All right, Don.
We're putting the burden in the wrong place.
Well, thank you. You've covered a lot of ground here, and I'd like to give the governor a chance to respond. One of the things that Don raised was the idea of manufacturing, and a lot of times that gets put forward, that why don't we build more things here? There are some reasons why that doesn't seem to be a viable path forward, Governor. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, Don brings up some good points, and certainly on the manufacturing side, just the cost of energy in Alaska. I mean, Iceland is an example. I spent some time with the president of Iceland last year when he came to Anchorage, and he explained that they have no natural resources in Iceland, but they have the lowest cost energy in the world, probably. So people take natural resources to Iceland to be manufactured into a product. So it's one of our goals is to bring down the cost of energy in Alaska. We should have the cheapest energy in Alaska, not the most expensive in the nation. So we have that available on the North Slope, and we need to make sure that we get that low-cost energy available to Alaskans for that purpose.
But it's also an issue of transportation costs as well. It's not just energy. I mean, bringing materials here to make something to ship is an expensive endeavor, is it not?
It is, but, you know, it kind of gets back to what Brian and Prince of Wales said about, opening up the trade routes. And so our transportation issue is an issue if we're going to the Lower 48, but if we're going to, you know, Japan or Korea, not so much. We actually have an advantage in that regard. So I think that we'll be able to see that. And my frustration is that, when you take a natural resource and you export it and somebody makes a product out of it, that's a colony. When you take a natural resource and you actually make it into a final product, that's an economy. So I want an economy, not a colony. So he's absolutely right about that, no question about it. I also want to just touch briefly on a comment that he made about, you know, we have looked closely at the senior programs too. We have taken some out. We put money back in. We have spent an inordinate amount of time, justifiably so, in the senior area, those that are on a fixed income, as far as trying to be as painless as possible to those particular programs. And, you know, if somebody had asked me when I ran, was I going to impose taxes, was I going to do this, do that, do something with the permanent fund, I'm sure I would have said, I have no plans to do that. But it's the analogy I use is kind of like Captain Scully at the, the U.S. Airlines pilot that left LaGuardia some years ago in 95, I believe, headed for Seattle. And somebody had said, Captain Scully, do you plan to land in the Hudson River? I'm sure he would have said, absolutely not. But he lost 80% of his power when he took off and hit a flock of birds, and he landed in the Hudson River. So, you know, we've lost 80% of our income since I took office. And so we've had to do some things that never anticipated doing, never would have wanted to do, don't like to do them now, but we don't have a choice. You know, we have to have a safe landing for Alaska's future. And while there's a lot of focus on the dividend, and I justifiably understand that, I have to also focus on the future of Alaska, the future generations of Alaska. I don't have the luxury to look at a single item. I have to look at all the items and look out generations so that our children, our grandchildren have an Alaska like we had, and we're doing the best we can to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. Dwayne is in Dillingham. Hi, Dwayne. Did you have a question for Governor Walker?
Yeah, good morning there, Governor. Dwayne Johnson, Dillingham, Alaska. We see the big problem out here, the budget, you know. You guys, you know, we see you guys spending, you read the newspapers and keep up on the news, and we see the legislature and the governor spending a lot of money on oil and gas consultants and buildings and junkets to go on, you know, to get their per diem. When are you guys going to cut your budgets more? Like you guys cut ours when you took half of our permanent fund. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. Well, we have, as I said, spending has come down 40% since 20, 13. It's come down from that year. The budget was about $8 billion, and now it's about 4.3. So that's the spending's come down. It needs to continue to come down. The governor's office, we've reduced the budget by 25%. Some departments have reduced their budget by 60%. Department of Commerce is down over 60%. Fish and Game is down 30%. So there's lots of reductions going on, and that continues on. There's absolutely no question about that. We do have oil and gas advisors on a resource that, if we're able to commercialize, monetize the gas on the North Slope rather than put it back in the ground, that will bring in estimates of $1 billion a year in revenue. That's five times what the income tax would bring in. So, you know, it's a matter of looking to make sure that, see if we can commercialize that resource. If we can, great. That's going to be a huge, huge benefit to Alaska, not just during the construction phase, pre-construction, but that will bring down the cost of energy significantly to many parts of Alaska. So it's a matter of monetizing those resources, and now is the time to make sure that that can be done. That would be a tremendous get-well card for Alaska to be able to do that project.
All right, let's go to Rebecca in Petersburg. We're going to stay with the phones for a while here. We've got lots of calls stacked up, Governor. Rebecca?
Hi, Governor. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I'm having a hard time understanding that there's a real fiscal problem when your administration continues to promote these big mega projects, road projects in particular, is what I'm talking about here in Southeast. The Valinor Road, 6 miles for $6 million. Shelter Cove Road, 7 miles for $11.5 million. I think the Baranoff Road, Catlin Bay Road, is still in the works for $15 million, purely a recreational road. And last but not least, the Cake Road is apparently still being considered. And as I see from their website, the purpose has now changed to provide access to forest resources. I would argue that there are hundreds of miles of logging road on Kupernoff Island that provide access to local residents to forest resources. And in addition, that project was pulled, and one of the reasons was it was a $500,000 annual maintenance fee. So, and finally, I'd like to add that the real road to resources is improved internet access. I know there was a project down at Kaufman Cove a few years ago where workers were going to transcribe medical records, and they had to scrap the whole project because of connectivity issues. So if you're going to spend money, I'd like to see you spend it on something that's really going to improve the quality of life. And these particular road projects, I don't think pencil out the resources that they access are exported, and Alaskans see little value or little return on their investment. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca, for the questions. Governor Walker, road projects?
Well, let's start with the internet first, work backwards on that.
Okay.
You're right about the internet. Our connectivity across Alaska is not good. There is a major project going on right now called Cotillion Project up north, which will tie Europe to Asia, sort of across the top of Alaska. So we're looking at ways of drawing and tying into that that line, and it's a tremendous benefit to Alaska to be able to do that. Now, how far into Alaska we can draw that down, I'm not sure, but I know, you know, for the villages up north, that's a huge benefit. And you're right. I've certainly been to lots of places that do not have good connectivity, and that's a problem because that's an economic opportunity. I met a young man in lives in Craig. He's 11 years old. He had worked on an invention a 3D printing concept enough that he won a national prize and ultimately went to the White House to meet with the First Lady about 2 weeks ago. And so, you know, you can't do that without having access to internet and connectivity. So you're right about that, Rebecca. You know, as far as the different roads, I mean, every road in Alaska is somewhat controversial. And from Valdez, I know the Cordova Road was very controversial. And so I know roads are in some way controversial. What I try to see is, you know, is it truly going to create jobs and activities? When I was at the Viking Mill the other day, there are about 45 folks that work there. Many of them are young people in their mid-20s. And I look at those jobs and those are year-round jobs in that facility. When we became a state, timber was a big part of our economy, huge part of our economy, and that's the last remaining mill of that size in Alaska. So I'm all about jobs, creating jobs and renewable opportunities, and certainly timber is that. I think it needs to be done responsibly, but I think we need to have access in order to do that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more questions and conversation with Governor Bill Walker as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station.
Mount Edgecombe High School in Sitka encourages rural Alaska high school students to apply to be part of their 70-year legacy. With a rich curriculum from art to advanced engineering, over 10,000 alumni strong, 90% of their students go on to four-year colleges or other post-secondary education. Apply online at mehs.us. This message sponsored by Mount Edgecombe High School.
Support for Alaska Public Media's Energy News Desk comes from Bettisworth North, Architects and Planners, and the Atwood Foundation.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Governor, before we go back to the phone lines, because, wow, there's a lot of people that would love to ask questions and we don't have a lot of time left, I wanted to ask a bit about the plan for the gas line, the LNG line. There's been a lot of money put toward this concept, this project, a new oil and gas advisor cabinet position, retaining former Attorney General Craig Richards as an oil and gas consultant. If the LNG plan can't come together, what will plan B be for Alaska's future? Is there another way forward if the LNG plan just can't work?
Well, we need to find out if it can work. I guess what I'm trying to do is assemble the best team available to find that out. The companies we're partners with have come to us and said, we need to look at a different structure, a different model, a tax-exempt structure, and that's what we're looking at now. And it was a good suggestion on their part, and we're happy to accommodate that request. So we're looking at that to see. We've been at this for decades, and yet we've never actually taken the field. We've never actually gone to the market with a project in hand. And I think we have the opportunity to do that with the producers, with this project, and find out, does this project result in a real project? If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it's not that. But we've never actually, you know, I feel like a baseball team that we've been in the dugout for 30 years. Let's take the field. Let's find it out. And once and for all, and if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. And we're not going to force this to happen at all costs. But I want us to have a fair chance. I watch all these LNG projects all over the world developed by the same companies we're working with, which is certainly no problem with that. Australia has a ton of them. And, you know, the biggest beneficiary of the LNG projects in Australia is the mining industry, because they're able to open up mines in the area of the access to the lower cost energy. So I look at the resources when I was at Fort Knox Mine last year. One of the biggest costs is energy. So, you know, it's a multifaceted. Those that talk about we need to diversify our income, I couldn't agree with them more. The best way to do that is have the lowest cost energy possible. So all I want us to do is make sure we have it, you know, the best team available to present this, to find out from the market. If the market is not there, there'll be no project. It mm-hmm. just doesn't work that way.
Let's go back to the phones. I don't know if we'll have a chance to get to if there is a plan B or what that might be, but Renee is in Esther. Hi, Renee. Do you have a quick question? We only have a couple minutes left.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm actually 11 miles beyond Esther, 20 miles out of Fairbanks, and before I get into the quick comment I was going to make. I have archaic phone lines out here. I'm on 56K dial-up. I'm not the only one here, and I'm not even hardly in Bush, Alaska, but our connectivity is almost non-existent by next year, probably will be as they upgrade other systems and phase us out. At any rate, there's a number of legislators that voted against truly effectively addressing the giveaway in oil and other energy credits here. And those legislators, by shirking that duty, then painted us into a tighter corner regarding other tax sources, and now posture as being against those tax sources. And I'm not opposed to us dipping into the permanent fund if we need to. We need to figure out something for the future. I'm also not in favor of government waste, and I've seen, you know, for almost 40 years now, the end of the fiscal year where people spend their budget down and spend their budget down as though it's some kind of sport. That needs to stop. At any rate, I would like to say that I think that for us to tap the permanent fund before we stop shoveling money to corporations who have not played honestly, their court records can be found through any database search, is just unethical and unprincipled. That we need to stop shoveling money at the big three producers and furthering their monopoly on the slope before we tap into the permanent fund.
All right. Thank you, Renee, for your comment. I'd like to give the governor a chance to respond in our final minute here.
Well, I did veto $430 million of the tax credits. That was a program that was perhaps well-intended, but poorly put together. And so we ended up in a situation that we're having to draw money out of savings to pay credits, and we're working for a different approach with those particular companies. You know, when you talk about money out of the permanent fund, it's certainly not the corpus, obviously, because we can't draw money from the corpus. That requires a vote of the people, and hopefully that never has to happen. It's the earnings, I think, you're referring to. And, you know, we have looked at implementing a process at the end of the year. You talk about people spending their budget down, and I've heard that as well. I was born in Fairbanks. I'm familiar with what's gone on, or at least the allegations. So we put some measures in place to make sure that did not happen. And we'll go back and take a look at the end of the year and see what did happen. And if that did happen, there'll be a consequence as a result of that. Because I totally understand what you're saying. You make a very good point. We need to make sure our house is in order, before we start doing other things. So that's something that we can certainly control, and we'll take another look at that as well.
All right. Well, it's rare that I look at the screen and see every single phone line lit up, and they still are. And I'm sorry that we won't make it to your calls because we only have about 40 seconds left. So thank you for the broad interest today in speaking with Governor Walker, and we'll have him come back. This certainly, we've still got a long ways to go before things are settled, and we'll keep track of what's happening and invite Governor Walker back again. Thank you, Governor, for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
To Ron Zastro, our engineer, and Wesley Early and Josh Edge on phones. I'm Lori Townsend. We'll be back next week.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by Wells Fargo, proud supporter of APRN and dedicated to helping people reach their goals on and off the field. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far.
Mount Edgecombe High School in Sitka encourages rural Alaska high school students to apply to be part of their 70-year legacy. Mount Edgecombe High School provides a curriculum rich in culture and diversity, offering over 80 courses, from art to advanced engineering, and with activities from native dance to kayaking. Class sizes are no larger than 30. Explore your talents and develop your dreams. Apply online at mehs.us. This message sponsored by Mount Edgecombe High School. Support for Alaska Public Media's Energy News Desk comes from Bettisworth North, Architects and Planners, and the Atwood Foundation.
This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.